Well, today we are going to touch on the portion of the creed that says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit, we know it's part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But if I'm being honest, I think sometimes the Holy Spirit is one we gloss over because it's a little bit harder to understand. It maybe seems a little mystical, it seems a little out there, and we don't fully get it. At least that's what my 9-year-old son told me this week. I don't know how the conversation came up, but we were talking, and he's like, Dad, I get the Father, I get the Son, but I don't really understand the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a great teaching moment, right? I'm like, okay, well, do you want to talk about it? No, I'm going to go build with Legos. Okay. All right. But I think that sometimes the place we default to in that, yeah, we believe in the Father, the Son, I get that, that's tangible, the Holy Spirit, yeah, I can get most of the way there. I couldn't articulate it, I couldn't really understand who the Holy Spirit is, but I believe the others, so by default, two of three is not bad. But it's all in one, it's the three in one. And so I want to spend some time today talking about the Holy Spirit, looking at the text of who the Holy Spirit is, the role he plays in our life, and then exploring a little bit of where sometimes I think we can fall short and get disconnected. So if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to bring it out. This is a scripture-heavy message. We'll have the scripture up on the screens, also the Bibles in the chair back. I was debating on saying this, but I'm going to say it. I would really encourage you to open the Bible. We have the words on the screen, which is great, but sometimes I find myself taking a posture when I read the screen of almost entertainment, like we're at a movie theater, and we're here to learn the Word of God. And so I encourage you, if you have a Bible, grab one and open up. I will be sharing the page numbers, so it'll be easy to flip through. So who is the Holy Spirit? Let's start very easily, page one of your Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, there from the very beginning. All right, so remember that. Then if we jump ahead to the New Testament, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. That's page 613 in your Bibles in the chairs. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. It's the Last Supper. He shared with them about what's going to take place. It's the betrayal, his crucifixion. They're obviously a mess. He's comforting them. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. So this is Jesus letting his disciples know, I'm going to leave, but another will be here, a counselor. He's referring to the Holy Spirit, so they should not be afraid. Then, if I jump ahead and fast forward, you can appreciate, I'm not saying fast forward in a flippant way. All of Scripture is important, but we're not going to read all through John and into Acts. But if Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, page 619, this is Jesus addressing his disciples after he's been crucified, was buried, rose again. He spent some time with the disciples after he rose again. And this is him addressing them at that time. It says, while he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you have heard me speak about, for John was baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. So when the disciples, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And then after Jesus shared that, he ascended into heaven and left them. And so this is him telling him, in a few days, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Don't leave, don't scatter. Receive it, and then with that Holy Spirit, you will have power, and you can be witnesses to all those around about my works. And Jesus said it was going to happen, and a few days later, it did happen. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, it says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Sounds like a pretty wild scene, right? Can you imagine? Can you imagine Long Grove Church, a wind coming rushing through, flames being above our heads, and being able to speak different languages? I mean, the Spirit has certainly been present in our nights of worship, for those of you who attended those. But this is next level. And it gets even better. Verse 5 says, now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When the sound occurred, referring to the wind rushing in, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded and amazed, saying, look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans, referring to the disciples? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea, in Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues. And so what Jesus told the disciples was going to happen did happen. The Holy Spirit, which is God's presence on earth that lives inside of us, came down, gave them the power to proclaim the works of the Lord. And all these people from different countries were astounded. And I think what stands out to me, a couple things. One, how does this relate to us? Well, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you as a believer. If you believe Christ is your Savior and confessed your sins, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 tells us that. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price, so glorify God with your body. So the Spirit dwells within you. And so the disciples were able to speak all these different languages to convey God's magnificence and to share the good news. And so I get a little, I don't know if annoyed is the right word, but it is a pet peeve of mine when I hear people say, yeah, I want to share the good news, I want to evangelize, but I'm still working on memorizing the right scriptures. I'm still working on memorizing the verses in Romans. I'm still working on reciting and make sure I know the prayer that people need to pray to know the Lord. I haven't attended seminary. I'm working on my theology. And once I have all that covered, then that's when I'll proclaim the Lord. No, that's not the case. Sharing the good news and evangelizing is very simple. All you have to do is tell someone how God has moved in your life and then trust the Holy Spirit is going to take over. Right? The disciples did not spend their lives studying the languages of the Medes, the Elamites, and a lot of other locations that I'm just happy I was able to pronounce semi-correctly. Right? And I'm not saying you're going to be called necessarily to witness in Spanish and French and in Mandarin and language that you're not familiar with. But if you take a step back, we are all called to witness. And it's not necessarily different countries of origin. You know, we all have different backgrounds, different life experiences. But the Word of God cuts through all of that. Whether you're talking with an executive of a Fortune 500 company, or a troubled youth in the Dominican Republic. If you trust the Holy Spirit, He will provide the words for you to say. And we have to trust the Lord in that. Many times we'll get a nudge sometimes from the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you should go talk to somebody. And it's scary. It's scary because, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I don't know the words. I might look crazy. I tell you what, though, if you feel that and you're obedient to what the Lord's calling you to, I would rather look crazy 100 times and feel obedient than be comfortable and know that I was disobedient to what the Holy Spirit was calling me to do. And so I just say that, you know, as we're talking about the disciples and the Holy Spirit coming upon them, the presence of the Lord filling them up, it was so that they could spread the news. And so we are called to do the same today. We are baptized when we proclaim Jesus as our Lord and Savior. When we're baptized, when we come out of that water, it is through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We should not lose sight of that. A few weeks ago, I heard a great pastor say something that really resonated. I don't remember the pastor's name, but I do think he was 49 years old when he said it. So, but what was said was, let's not lose sight of the Spirit that we're talking about here. The Spirit that was at the beginning of time in Genesis. The Spirit that Jesus promised the disciples that would come upon them and give them power. The Spirit that came rushing in and allowed them to spread the word. The Spirit that was there when Jesus rose from the dead is the same Spirit that's within each of us as believers. And it sounds very elementary and very basic, but I tell you, I get goosebumps when I think about that and to say it. And so I hope you feel empowered and emboldened knowing that that rests within you as believers. So the Holy Spirit is God's presence on earth and living inside us. But what role does the Holy Spirit play? What role does the Holy Spirit not play? He is counselor to us, giving us wisdom and discernment during times of making decisions and trying to determine what to do. He is comforter when we are grieving. When we don't have the words to say to God to pray, the Holy Spirit will intercede for us. The Holy Spirit will groan and supply us with the words when we can't speak, when we're tied up in grief. I know the Holy Spirit is playing comforter today with the Harrington family. The Holy Spirit convicts us. You know, it's not just a conscience in or Jiminy Cricket telling you like, hey, steer away from this. It leads to trouble. No, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you. The Holy Spirit provides us spiritual gifts. We spent some time a few weeks ago back in 1 Corinthians talking about the spiritual gifts. And so just as a reminder, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, page 651, Paul writes to the church of Corinth and says, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God works all of them in each person. And he goes on to list them. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as he wills. And so whenever people say, like, or receive a compliment, they may say, like, oh, I'm just wired that way. You're not just wired that way. That's how God made you. And the Holy Spirit has blessed you with gifts and talents that you're called to steward. And that's what Paul's talking about here. All of those gifts, all of those talents are from the Spirit. and reside in you. And let me just tell you, if you've ever experienced it yourself or in someone else, someone who has a spiritual gift and is working in concert with the Spirit and doing what's being led, it is beautiful to see. The only way I can describe it is it's a flower blossoming. If you're unsure of what your spiritual gifts are, a plug for our Next Steps class, part of that, as Kinsey mentioned, is taking an assessment just to figure out where your gifts are. Sometimes it's hard to interpret, or it's like, is this a spiritual gift, or is this just something that I'm good at? So if you're curious about that, I encourage you to check that out. But then once you recognize what it is that God has given you or called you to, gosh, lean in and let the Spirit take control of that. So the Holy Spirit plays a lot of different roles in our life. And maybe you're saying to yourself, okay, that's great, Adam, but how do I know if it's working? How do I know, I agree with what you say, but how do I know if the Spirit is there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, page 662. And this is a passage that many of us probably are familiar with, but it bears repeating and spending time in. It says, this is Paul writing to the church in Galatia. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So the Spirit and our flesh cannot exist together. They are opposing forces. Paul then doubles down to make it more clear if it's not already. Verse 19, he says, now the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then in contrast, in verse 22, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So what happens if you're walking with the Spirit? If the Spirit is alive, what will within you, what will be produced? Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So Paul gives us two lists. There's the list of the flesh and what the flesh desires, and then there's the fruit of the Spirit. And I just ask you today, don't raise your hand, but just kind of do a mental inventory. Which of those two lists do you resonate more with you in your life? What are you experiencing more of at this time? And that's a good measurement of if you're walking with the Spirit or not. Now, don't get me wrong, we all fall short, right? We all have moments where our flesh takes over. I'll share that this week, I certainly had a couple of moments where the fruit of the Spirit was not evident. I have two kids, a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old. And it was just one of those weeks where I felt like the kids, who I love very much, but were doing a lot of things that were just pushing my buttons, right, wrong, or indifferent. And so I would raise my voice. I would try to call them into correction in a loud way. But my 7-year-old daughter on Thursday was like, Dad, it seems like you've been really angry this week. Why? Let me tell you, that cut me down really quickly. Right? That she could see that there was something going on. Right? I was having outbursts of anger instead of peace and patience. And so it was a good correcting moment of that. It's like, I need to recalibrate. I need to recalibrate and let the Holy Spirit get back in the driver's seat and just letting my own frustration, anger step in. And so I just ask you, which resonates more? What is which list is a prevailing factor? And if it's that of the flesh, it's not good. It leads to death, but we know there's hope, right? Turn from your sin, confess, and let the Holy Spirit take over. And if it's the fruit of the Spirit that you're experiencing, awesome. Keep it up. Don't get lazy in pursuing the Lord and the Holy Spirit, because we can fall, we can backslide so quickly. You know, I've obviously known a lot of believers in my life. I've been in a lot of churches. And sometimes, even if you're attending church, even if you say believe, it's hard to always experience the Holy Spirit. I think there's a number of reasons why. What separates us from the Spirit of God? I think an obvious one, right, if we're giving Sunday school answers, is sin. It's obvious, but it's so true. If you have, just as Paul said in Galatians, if there's sin in your life, sin and the Holy Spirit cannot mix. And so if you have sin there, the Holy Spirit will convict you, but you need to recognize and move away from it. If it wasn't clear enough in Galatians, Paul doubles down also in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 10. Page 642 in your Bibles. Paul writes, "For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives life because of righteousness." Obviously, sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from the Spirit. And so if you're struggling with sin today, I implore you just to repent and flee from that. I think there are a couple other things, though, that can separate us from the Spirit that are not quite as obvious as blatant habitual sin. I think sometimes, as believers, we can numb ourselves. We can numb ourselves of things of this earth, things of the flesh, that don't seem like outright sin, but yet, it dulls us to being in tune with the Holy Spirit. This is a silly example, but I'll share. Some of you know that I grew up loving rap music. Okay? I know it's very stereotypical for a guy from rural southern Illinois to really jam out to rap music, but it's true. And as you know, and probably guess, a lot of rap music is not producing or talking about fruit of the Spirit, rather it's things of the flesh. I won't get into details. I don't need to paint a picture. I think you've turned on the radio and you can hear that. But then I'll tell you, in the last couple of years, I've moved away from what I call secular rap. I still like rap music, but I've been trying to explore more Christian rap artists. Because it felt I felt more fulfilled hearing about the Lord through music. Hearing, just truth being spoken through lyrics. Now, that's not to say all Christian musicians are the best, and you know there's problems everywhere. But there was a marked difference between the two types of music I was listening to. Now, I have freedom in Christ. I'm not sinning by listening to rap music, right? As long as I'm not causing another brother to stumble, I'm good, right? But subconsciously, I was becoming numb because I'm listening to things of the flesh, of the world. And so I just want to ask everyone today to be cognizant of what you're filling yourself up with. And I think that's what Paul's saying in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, he says, "For those living according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit." So while we have freedom in Christ to do different things and that aren't necessarily outright sin, you know, to be clear, I wasn't living out the rap lyrics. I'm not out in the street doing wild stuff. I'm just driving in my car. But my mind was not of things on things of the Lord, of the Spirit. And so maybe I'm looking around the room. I'm going to guess not everyone's listening to rap music as they drive home. But whatever it is for you, right? Whatever it is for you that's causing a stumbling block subconsciously that you don't even realize. Because I can tell you, I can tell a difference in my personality in like what I'm thinking of depending on what I'm listening to in the car. The last thing I want to touch on as it relates to being devoid of the Holy Spirit, it's a hard one to articulate. So just bear with me as I work through it, but I think it is prevalent in a lot of places. And that is, we love to keep the Holy Spirit at arm's length. We say we believe in the Holy Spirit. We say we believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I say this because I'll tell you, I spent a good portion of my life in this position, in this posture. And so maybe it's resonating with you. I'm not calling anyone out because I was there. But let me just describe this. You're a Christian and you go to church on Sunday. You listen to what the pastor has to say. Hey, he made some good points. I'm going to try to live a good life this week. Maybe you read your Bible during the week. Right? Maybe you have a daily devotional that you wake up, you flip through, great. I've read the Bible, I went to church. Maybe you even spend some time in prayer, kind of ritualistically going through, God, thank you for this day, please be with these people who are sick, please guide my steps. Everything I've described seems like a model Christian. And all those things are things that you should be doing as a believer. But hear me when I say you can do all of those things and be apart from the Spirit. I think a lot of people in church, a lot of churches, a lot of people who claim they're Christians, their Christianity is a checklist. It's a checklist to make them feel good about themselves that they're trying to follow God. And it's a checklist because if we keep the Spirit at arm's length, if we make our faith an intellectual exercise, it's safe. It's safe, and we can control it. And we as humans, our flesh craves control and comfort. And when we invite the Holy Spirit into our life, into our hearts, it is scary, right? The Spirit calls us to do things that cause discomfort, cause us to step out. What will people think? What will people say? I have these hobbies that I really enjoy that I have friends with. What if the Holy Spirit calls me away from that? You know, go down the list of the things that are causing you to keep the Holy Spirit at bay. But until we let the Holy Spirit in and allow him to move from our head and our Christian faith being intellectual to being the core of our being, we're missing the point. Our faith is not a checklist. God desires more. To make it resonate a little bit more, just think about friendships that you have. Even marriages, right? Tell me if this seems like a good marriage, right? If I'm husband, I work hard, I provide for my family, I maybe pick up groceries from the grocery store. I help make sure the kids get to everywhere they need to be. I'll do some dishes. I might even help with the laundry. I put the kids to bed. Wow, I am crushing it. as a husband and a father. Check, 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 check. I've done all the things. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of marriages that have fallen apart when you're just checking the boxes. What does a marriage require? It requires communication. It requires working together as a team, husband and wife. It requires me sharing with my spouse what's going on in my life. What are my challenges? What are things that make me happy? And it's not only me sharing, it's also listening what's happening with my wife. And her sharing the same. And that communion together is the foundation of a strong marriage. And all this other stuff is needed, but it's the fruit of this core. The same thing is with our relationship with Christ, with the Spirit. If you are not in communion with the Spirit, if you are not spending time just pouring yourself out in prayer and asking God to reveal things to you, it's very easy to check the boxes and you look up and you're like, gosh, what happened? What happened to my marriage? We just became roommates. What happened to my relationship with Christ? I did all the things. What was I missing? You were missing allowing the Spirit to come in. Church, the Holy Spirit is so powerful. It dwells inside of you. The Holy Spirit can cause revival. And I tell you, I feel very strongly and passionately about this, that a revival is coming. It's coming to this community. It's coming to the church. And it starts with each one of us. So if there's things in your life that are causing you to step away from the Holy Spirit, get rid of them. If you're unsure or lack confidence of what the Holy Spirit is going to call you to, the Bible tells us, I don't know how many times, do not be afraid, right? We have to step into that obedience. I'm going to ask Noah to come up. Because I could continue to talk for a long time about the power of the Holy Spirit. But you know who's a better pastor than I about talking about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit. And so I want to spend just a few minutes of us in quiet time, just allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to our souls. Okay? If you don't know the Holy Spirit, I ask you to invite him in. If you are struggling with something and recognize that there's something cutting you off, there's a sin, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the strength to step away. If you don't feel the Holy Spirit and you're not sure why, ask for guidance and counsel in that. And if you're just trying to figure out what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do, ask for clarity, and not only clarity, but the confidence to step in. I'm going to pray, and then I just want to spend a few moments quietly at your seat, just letting the Holy Spirit minister to your hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present in this room, Lord. It is a gift that your Spirit dwells here on earth with us, that it dwells inside us as believers. We thank you for the power that it holds. Lord, I just pray that in this time, the Holy Spirit will minister to our hearts, that will bring clarity and wisdom to things that are unclear, that will provide healing and nurturing to those things that are broken, and provide confidence and certainty for those things that seem cloudy. Lord, let your Holy Spirit descend upon this place and fill our hearts at this time. Amen.